Men's Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say by calling 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Well, King Charles III, our Lord of Man, is on the island now, making his way to Tynwald. So we'll see what the day brings. He's on the horse tram. There's a garden party at Government House. And I just wonder what you think about this. Ali dropped a note in, just as is Ali on 013, said, I hope the constabulary is on the ball today to suppress any possible protests. This visit is for the Isle of Man, for Manx people, as their Lord of Man, not as King of England. So it's the Lord of Man that's here. And Gaz dropped a note in on 313. Things are finally looking up. DOI's found a magic money tree to tidy up parts of Douglas for the King, Lord of Man. Now, if they can harvest another and fix the prom, potholes, faded road markings, dangerous pavements, and overgrown country footpaths for the people who actually live here. I just wonder what you think about all this. It's a tradition, obviously. His mother came here years and years ago. 1955, I think, she hosted Tynwald, and it was her first visit after she'd been crowned. And it's his first visit, obviously, after his inauguration. Anyway, that and everything else. There are tons to talk about on the island today. Particularly yesterday, we were talking about housing yesterday and the problems with housing and what can be fixed, and the fact that you can guarantee every politician is going to be telling you when they're knocking on your doors over the next couple of months that they want to solve the housing problem. Ask them how. Just sit them down, make them a cup of tea and say, how are you going to solve it? What will you do? Oh, congratulations, by the way. If you're a Next customer, you don't have to just go online. The Next PLC have agreed with the landlords of the property in Strand Street. They're going to stay. They were due to close on Saturday. Blimey, that was close to the wire. Must have been like the gunfight at the OK Corral. Who blinked first, I wonder? So posters confirming the closure were taken down yesterday, and staff have confirmed in-store to customers that a deal had been salvaged. In April, Next said that the store's lease was coming to an end, and although they wanted to renew and remain trading, the landlord had put forward terms that weren't commercially acceptable. Rent, obviously, isn't it? Anyway, it's all happy now, so if you get your Next stuff online, you can still do the returns at Strand Street. What do you make of this U-turn? Are you happy that Next staying? Would you have missed it if Next... I mean, it's a big place. It's a big property. So it's staying. I just wonder what you think about that. Is that a good thing? Are you having King Charles III on your show? Says Det. Sadly, he couldn't make it. We got Juan instead of King Charles. Hello, Juan.
Romeo 19 has landed from from Northolt, I believe. There we go. Andy, I think he was circling from half 11 because ATC were having a coffee break.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
He's probably tuned in. He'll probably be in the limo listening to Man in Line. So, good morning, Your Majesty.
Good morning. And he's got up his Dassault Falcon if there's any plane enthusiasts there. So, flying in from Northolt. I was just at the... I popped into the meeting last night at the Villa Marina. It was the first meeting this week of the wind turbine issue.
Right.
So they were there was time speeches last night from people who wanted to express their views about it. So there was I seen two MHKs there when I was there, and four or five prospective MHKs who were there, including a couple from the Garth area. So some quite emotional speeches there last night from people. And I think there was a couple of representatives there from Orsted who chose not to speak, who just listened. But again, I don't think there was any, not a lot of new stuff came out of the meeting last night from what I could see, but a lot of passionate speeches about how people felt about it. And the committee had said that they'd done a night drive around the area to see the aesthetics at night time and the dark skies, and had also done the boat journey through a couple of the other wind farms to get an evaluation of what they're like, actually being in among them and everything. So they seem to be taking quite a bit of interest. But again, I just wanted to point on that, you know, the again, people are putting their side of it, and then other people are putting their side of it separately, and I do think still that a meeting where people could do a proper Q&A, you know, that, I mean, they did that in the Villa Marina last night, a proper Q&A where people could actually, you know, question both sides at the same time and get an overall view would be far better, Andy, than what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, so what was the problem with last night? You said that you there wasn't any back and forth.
There's no back and forth, no. I mean, everyone that spoke had allotted times that they could speak. I think it was a 5-minute duration that they could do their speech and of what they felt about things. And the committee had actually said that they'd taken most of the stuff that had been put forward was already on board, and they were working with that and doing it. But I say just a couple of very impassioned speeches. A couple of people actually broke down when they were speaking. You know, they were that, you know, empowered and impassioned about what was happening. But I just feel, because, you know, we said before on the programme, you know, people are getting so much bombarded with information. I think it would just be nice that, you know, a proper down-to-earth Q&A where people could actually listen to people sword fencing, if you know what I mean, and cross-questioning, because that's where you get the interesting stuff coming out, when people could be put under the spotlight and cross-questioned. You know, and I think that would be, at this stage of the game, I think that would be somewhere to go. Maybe it's too late in the game, I don't know, but that's somewhere where I think they should have been visited before. But yeah, that's more or less what I've got to say today, Andy. I'm going to go out and enjoy the afternoon.
Oh, well, and give the Lord a man away from me, would you?
He's stopping in for a cup of tea. We've only got Tetley tea bags on.
Okay.
See you later.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. And more messages from yesterday. We were talking about taxi drivers. I got a taxi the other week. Says Barry called up yesterday and just intimated, really, that the test for getting a taxi license isn't as difficult as it used to be. So we'll... anyway, messages about taxis. Got a taxi the other week. The driver couldn't speak a word of English or much English. He had to use sat-nav. He went to Paul Rose. Paul Rose. Well, the taxi industry knows better than I do what's happening in the taxi industry. If you've got anything you'd like to just pass along, because remember, the public are the ones that use the taxis. I mean, obviously, I appreciate the fact it's your living and it's your industry, but obviously, without the public, there wouldn't be an industry. There wouldn't be a living. So the public are the ones that we need to care about. So I just wonder what you think about this. And a note in from 381, who just said, I've had foreign taxi drivers, this is 381's words, I've had foreign taxi drivers ask me how to get to places, and many times have used sat-navs. I use taxis many times per week, and things seem to be changing. There was also a note in from 382, who just said there was a taxi driver in a white car. Friday, a taxi driver got out of his car, yelled loudly at a lady in the taxi area on Victoria Street around lunchtime. He was so rude. Obviously, I think they are... obviously, on Victoria Street, there's a problem because you get people parking there where you shouldn't park. I think there's one space where you can drop off, where people can drop off to companies, but often you do get people park, and obviously then sometimes taxi drivers have a word about it. Well said, Barry. This is Rich. You said Barry called up yesterday about taxi drivers. If the people don't have a work permit, surely they haven't been checked. Politicians need to listen. He's a credit to his trade, says this correspondent. Well, if you've got anything to say regarding the provision of taxes on the Isle of Man and the calibre of people who are getting their licences, then have a word about this. If you want to talk about it, by all means, do get in touch, because it's something that really we all need to know about, don't we? You mentioned that the late Queen had a visit. Everything wasn't shabby when she came here. Were you there, Gaz? Were you actually there? Well, remember, we did have a very big visiting industry. We had the tourist trade, and everybody used to be, and mandated often, to keep everything looking shipshape and Bristol fashion. Things used to be painted every year, because we had to make sure for that 13-week season in the summer that everything was absolutely spot on. And if it wasn't spot on, either you didn't take the money, consequently you didn't have a very good winter, or you'd get a knock on the door from somebody saying, why haven't you painted that? Why hasn't that been tidied up? Why does that look like an unmade bed? So, anyway, thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. We're monitoring where the Lord of Man is at the moment. We're just trying to see where he is, and we'll be trying to check his progress. We'll do. Anyway, there was also the thing about the first-time buyers, the shortage of social housing or a stagnant rental market. The Isle of Man isn't without its housing issues. The question of affordability is something really that we need to look at. That's a message from Michelle. Oh, Mike's with us now. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Andy? You all right?
Very good. This is Mike Birchall from the taxi trade, isn't it?
That's correct, Andy. That's correct. I'd first like to endorse what Barry said yesterday. I'm totally in agreement with what he said about the government and us harping away to MPs and MHKs and the RTLC all the time about wanting change and the legislation not being fit for purpose. I've been in the trade now nearly 15 years, not quite as long as Barry. And as he said yesterday, myself, Ray Tier, and himself, we've been trying to change things for years. Just one thing I wanted to clear up, first of all, the difference between a ply-for-hire taxi and a private hire.
Okay.
Now, Barry said yesterday he thought that the test for a private hire wasn't quite as difficult as a ply-for-hire. He was actually incorrect on that. Was the only thing he was incorrect on. There is no test for private hire drivers. So basically, if you order a taxi or you ring a service provider, you could be provided with either a ply-for-hire taxi or a private hire vehicle. Now, if it's a ply-for-hire taxi, the driver should have sat a knowledge test and should hold a badge to drive a ply-for-hire taxi. If they send a private hire vehicle, the driver has not necessarily had to sit the test. He might not have a ply-for-hire badge. He might only have a badge that says private hire only. And for that, there is no necessity to sit a knowledge test, hence people not knowing where they're going, etc. It has actually happened to me that I've jumped into a vehicle and I've had to tell the person how to get to my house. And I live at the back of Williston, so, I can endorse what people are saying on that. Now, why has that happened? The RTLC has allowed over the years, before my time this started, private hire vehicles to be used as quasi-taxis. You would call them minicabs in the UK. And it's the same in the UK. A minicab driver hasn't sat a knowledge test. A black cab driver has. So it's the same sort of system there. There's all sorts of things going on with the trade. I think I did do an interview last week with the Manx Radio news team. And I did say there, I talked to MHKs 2 years ago about the CCTV issue. I'm not saying that I endorse compulsory CCTV in taxis, but what I did ask for, and we sat with two MHKs at the time out at Llewellyn, and I asked for them to make it easier for taxi drivers to put CCTV into vehicles, because at the moment we need to pay a license fee, a registration fee. You're not allowed to use the sound in the vehicle anyway. So in this case that's in the news at the moment, if there had been a CCTV camera running, the sound wouldn't have been recorded anyway, because the legislation doesn't allow that. Well, at the moment, you've just got to jump through so many loopholes to put a CCTV system in a taxi. It's just unreal. And I don't think we should have to do that. I think it should be free of charge for taxi drivers. both for the protection of the driver and, of course, more importantly, the protection of the general public.
Mike, why do you think, and the public will be listening to this, the listeners will be listening to this, thinking, well, when Barry's been in the business a long time, you've been in the business a long time, Ray Tear's been around for a long time, why won't politicians and civil servants listen to what you have to say? You're not talking nonsense to them, are you?
No, we're not. And I don't know. They go away and they say, oh, yeah, we're going to do something. We've listened to you. We'll get back to you. And nothing ever happens. I mean, we even asked for things like there was a big meeting. This was just as I was getting into the trade, really, before I was a representative of the trade. We asked for the appeal system for the RTLC to be made easier. And it went through a simple body that looked at this, and nothing's ever happened about that either. I mean, currently, if the RTLC does revoke a taxi license, a taxi driver's license, you have to appeal it at the Deemster's court. You have to go all the way through that procedure, and it's a very, very expensive process. We asked for the appeals process to be made easier and more affordable. That was one thing that we asked for, but the legislation is flawed. The legislation is flawed, and somebody needs to look into this. And the RTLC's hands, to be fair to them, is tied as well in a lot of cases. But you know,
so what is it, Mike? What is it that the powers that be don't quite understand about being in the taxi trade and what taxi drivers offer?
I don't know. I mean, we brought a lot of things to the table, and all I can think of is either it doesn't bother anybody, nobody's interested, and or there's more important things that they maybe consider that they have to do. Well, when you look at these situations, if we look at the situation that's going on at the minute, and the fact that the video that went round, there was a situation 2 years ago similar, and we asked for changes 2 years ago, and nobody listened, and now we've got this situation again. Yeah. So I don't know what we can do, where we can go with this. We need people to start listening. We've got a new MHK is coming in September. Some of the old ones will stay, I suppose, so nothing's going to happen before then. But I would appeal now to the MHKs and to the government and to the RTLC. It's okay the RTLC saying, you know, our hands are tied, the legislation doesn't allow us to do this. Legislation, anyway, there's many interpretations of the legislation. But the RTLC needs to be getting the government to listen as well and get the legislation changed so that it functions properly.
Right. Well, while you were saying that, I got a note in from Cheryl who just said, tell Mike, I think I've got the answer. There's no votes in taxis.
There's no votes in taxis.
Well, okay. The thing is, I mean, what you need is a taxi driver to get into the House of Keys.
Yeah, we do. We could do that. You know, I certainly, I'm certainly not going to do that, but I'm not going to stand up for the House of Keys. I know Barry's been involved in local politics. Maybe that's.
You can answer a question for me, Mike. And again, this is one of the things. Looking from the outside, people think taxi drivers and taxi owners make fortunes. Can you put people straight?
I can put people straight, yeah. The only way to make a living in the taxi trade at the current time is by working 12-hour shifts. And if anybody wants to work 12-hour shifts, then that's fine, you know. But there is, you certainly won't get rich out of driving a taxi. You know, if you look at Victoria Street, the issue with it is, Andy, people go down the airport when there's three EasyJet flights coming in. They see no airport taxis on the taxi rank because there's been 600 people arrive at the airport, and they say there isn't enough airport taxis. But they weren't down there an hour and a half before those flights arrived to see 15 taxis sitting around for 2 hours. That's one thing. People go down Victoria Street on a Saturday night, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no taxis there. People do actually moan about Victoria Street, that they can't get down Victoria Street because the taxis double parked. Why do they think the taxis are double parked during the daytime? Because they've got no work, because they're fighting for work. That's the reason.
Okay.
You know, so it's a bit of common sense, isn't it? You know, the airport gets a hammering because quite often there's no cars there when three EasyJet flights come in. I know that. But how many people actually go down the airport 2 hours before those flights come in and see 15 cars sitting there doing nothing?
Okay.
You know, there's... It's not the living that people think it is. You can make money on a Saturday night in a short period of time, but all that's going to do is make up for the Tuesday afternoon when you're sitting there for 3 hours and you earn 15 quid.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. It's 25 past 12. Well, if you've got any thoughts on this, and what do you think about the comment, there are no votes in taxis? You know, the fact that taxi drivers might be having a bad time or might feel misunderstood, or obviously there are differences between, apply for hire and private hire. As a member of the public, you don't know that. You don't know who's going to be picking you up and what sort of taxi it is. So we don't understand. It's not really part of our daily life. If you're in the trade, you understand it only too well. And as Mike was saying, you know, the fact that we only tend to complain when there aren't taxis around when we want them. So how do we get through this? And if there are no votes in taxis, who in Keys is going to look after the taxi trade? Because the taxi trade is public transport. It does offer a service, and often a very vital service to people, last thing at night, first thing in the morning. If you can solve that, maybe you should consider standing. Andy said, is the king using a state car? Don't know. Who brought it over? Well, I'm guessing the steam packet would have brought it over. We'll find out more about it. Right, it's 26 minutes past 12, and on this very auspicious day, it's time to find out a lot more of what's going on in Tynwald with John Moss.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's what you'd call a hush of expectation from the Keys members who are gathered here, waiting for the arrival of His Majesty, coming to the island, of course, for the first time as monarch, third English monarch to bear the name Charles I, an unfortunate ending, Charles II, the merry monarch, Charles III, no sobriquet as yet, Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor. He's to address this court of Tynwald, as his mother did, the late Queen, in 1955. She was presented at that time with an illuminated address of welcome. The Keys are in their position, all except the Chief Minister, who is outside greeting His Majesty, arriving at the front door of Tynwald, if I can put it that way. The other members are all in their seats, waiting, chatting amongst themselves. The ceremony will start when the Speaker of the Keys, Duan Watterson, will enter and take his seat. The Sword of State will arrive, of course. Where exactly the Sword of State will be placed, we don't know at the moment. A matter of conjecture. It's usually placed on the table at the centre in between, in the well of Tynwald, in between the Keys members. But we believe it may be positioned elsewhere. We're just going to have to wait and see. We're keeping tabs on the progress of His Majesty. He's coming in, chatting to people as he comes in, off the street, into the cool of Tynwald after what is a pretty hot day outside. This present Tynwald chamber was built between 1891 and 1894. Designs were prepared by a local architect called James Cowley of Douglas. Mr. Cowley also designed, incidentally, the former prison on Victoria Road, which is no more. It once had adjoining offices, but they were removed for the present red brick block of government offices. The white building, which most people I think assume are probably Tynwald offices, was the former Bank of Mona, and that's part of the government offices that form the Tynwald complex. It was first used on the 29th of December, this chamber, 1894. It replaced the chamber in Douglas Courthouse. That had been used regularly since 1866, when the whole kit, kat and caboodle of legislature moved from Castle Rushen to Douglas. Douglas was deemed to be the up-and-coming centre of the island and a better place to put the legislature. The members are talking amongst themselves, chatting, waiting for this ceremony and the address from His Majesty to be delivered. The Legislative Council members, who sit on the upper shelf, if I can put it that way, are not in the chamber at the moment. They wait outside until the Speaker has entered and taken his seat, the Speaker of the Keys, Keras V, the Chosen, the 24, And then the legislature, the legislative council members, will file in, take their seats, and the president will also come in, Lawrence Skelly, who was appointed in July 2021. And of course, the next Timwood, which is happening next week, will be his last as presiding officer, for he has announced his retirement. He'll be wearing his robes, which were designed partly by Sir Charles Carouche, who was the first elected president of this Timwood, and that was some years ago in 1990. The speaker himself, the president incidentally, wears a long wig, which comes down to his shoulders. The speaker of the House of Keys wears black robes with the gold detail, which were presented to the island by the House of Commons, marking the anniversary of that important date, 1866, when the first elections, public elections, took place here in the Isle of Man. We're watching the cameras at the moment to see when His Majesty will be arriving at the front door of Timwood. It is quite warm here in the Timwood chamber. Some one or two of the members actually have small fans which they're using to cool themselves. It's the entry of the legislatures will take place in a moment. Keys members in their seats, incidentally. The one that sits in the back is the one that got the less votes in the election for that constituency, and the member sitting in front of them is the one that got the most votes in that constituency. So they sit obviously next to each other so they can confer if there is a matter concerning their own constituency. They're chatting amongst themselves. We are expecting to hear a rap of a gavel when the speaker, Ewan Watterson, arrives. He is in the party outside, along with the president and the chief minister, Alf Cannon, who have been greeting His Majesty King Charles on his arrival here. Beautiful day, brought straight from the airport, and he'll have been able to enjoy the Manx countryside, really looking at its best. He'll have come in from the main road, that's from Castletown through to Douglas, the main road. It's a pity, really, he couldn't have gone on the back road, which goes through the place I live, St. Mark's, and it would have given him a glimpse of the plains of heaven, which at this time of year are looking really beautiful. I've given him a look at the interior of the island, but he'll be brought speedily from the airport. A lot of security outside. We were on the far side of Timwood, but apparently over on the Bucks Road side, Prospect Hill, just before this started, there were an awful lot of police officers. Presumably, they have now dispersed to various places where His Majesty will be going. He's due to meet members of the public on Bucks Road after he's finished addressing Timwood. When his mother addressed Timwood in 1955, she said it was a tremendous opportunity to be the oldest continuous legislature in the Commonwealth. The oldest actual legislature, I believe, is the Alting, which is where Timwood gets its name from. It's the assembly field, Tingvolla, which is the original Norse where the Timwood collection or the Timwood assembly got its name, when the Vikings, of course, were very much in control of this area, of the sea area, starting, of course, in 793 when they raided Lindisfarne and laid waste to it and took away all the treasures and slaughtered a lot of the monks. That started a rather fearsome period of the Vikings. The Danes, I think, went down the east side of Britain, and the Norwegians went, the Vikings went down the west side. But the sight of their longships on the horizon was a fearsome one, and usually presaged some unpleasantness for the locals, who, of course, were fisher folk, as was termed, I think, in a movie Tone News in 1955, fisher folk, and also farmers, and weren't really equipped to take on a fierce boatload of Vikings. The members chatting amongst themselves. The chamber is a splendid chamber. If you haven't seen the Timwood Chamber, it's worth coming on one of the tours that are given to explain what this chamber is all about, its importance. I don't know if you've been down to the old House of Keys in Castletown as well. That's a fascinating example of what life was like in the late 1800s, middle 1800s, the process of legislation. We can just hear upstairs a faint blast of a trumpet, which I presume is just practicing, making sure they're in trim for when His Majesty arrives. We understand that when he does enter the chamber, there will be a fanfare on the trumpet. And I believe that's what's happening upstairs. The trumpeters are preparing for that to actually happen. He will be invited to come into the chamber by the President, Mr. Lawrence Skelly. That's when he will arrive in the chamber and take his position, which should be, of course, in a presiding position, because the governor, when he's here, is in effect in loco for him. He's in the position of the king as Lord of Man. But when the king is here, or as it was with the queen or member of the royal family to take precedence, they do so, and they will be sitting in the president's chair. Although there have been rumours that a special chair has been brought in for His Majesty, a very important and posh chair that His Majesty will be sitting in. Now, I'm just glancing to my right at the door, and members of the press are taking their seat, and the governor's wife has arrived, Lady Lorimer, with her ADC, and they take their positions and sit there, which means the governor himself, Sir John Lorimer, will assume be sitting on the upper shelf amongst the Legislative Council members. A hush of expectancy as the press now are gathered next to me, next to our broadcasting booth. They're waiting for the process to start. And here it is. Well, part of it started. The Chief Minister comes in with a smile on his face. He's not really the one we expected to come in, first of all, but he was outside as part of the welcoming party. And he now takes his seat. And now all the Keys members are present, all 24, all Carysfield are present here in the chamber. And they'll be waiting for their speaker to arrive, Juan Watterson, who will be arriving very shortly to take his seat there. Over there on the far side of the chamber. We're all looking around now to the doorway. The hush, as you can imagine, has died. No chatting amongst the members now. They're waiting for the next part of this dramatic assembly to take place. His Majesty is, we believe, outside the door at the moment, awaiting his entry. The press are focusing their cameras, making sure everything's in the trim for this. The members are looking with great interest at the door to see what happens next. Was that a tap of a gavel I heard? Let me see. Looking round the corner, I'm expecting to see the Speaker of the House of Keys arriving in a moment. At the moment, it's just on pause. The whole ceremony is on pause, waiting for this important occasion. We believe His Majesty will be speaking for something like 8 minutes. And we've seen with his performance in America, the Capitol building, he is a good speaker. He's able to actually raise the spirit of people by what he says, by the odd witticism put in what he has to say. But I'm sure he will be saying what a pleasure it is to be here in the island in this ancient legislature and to be able to see the people who look after the Isle of Man. I tap the gavel and the members rise to their feet and await the entry of the speaker, first of all. Absolute quiet. Irene Carl, the chaplain, comes in. Jonathan King, the clerk, enters, and here is the speaker, not wearing his wig for this occasion, Juan Watterson, in the black robes with gold detail. Takes a seat, he'll address the members.
Faster Mike, good afternoon, honourable members.
The voice of Juan Watterson.
Please be seated.
And all the members are seated. And now members of the legislature enter, taking their seats on the upper shelf as it's termed. Tanya August, and is very noticeable in a bright red dress. They stand by their seats. They'll be waiting for the President to arrive. The President, Lawrence Skelly.
Honourable Members, please keep standing. President Tyrrell.
And again, the Keys Members stand. And Mr. Skelly enters in his tremendous robes here, they are blue with silver detail. And sits slightly to one side of where he would normally sit.
That's my actor,
Welcome to the special sitting of Tyrrell Court. I've invited His Majesty the King, Lord of Man, to join us in the chamber this afternoon. Please stand for the entrance of His Majesty.
The sword bearer now enters, holding the sword of state.
In aspect will lead us in prayer.
God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
O let the nations rejoice and be glad, for you will judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Then shall the earth bring forth her increase, and God, our own God, will bless us.
God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you call us to seek the welfare of all. We give you thanks for the presence of your servant, Charles, our King, Lord of Man. Grant him joy, bless and uphold him in his vocation of service. And likewise inspire the members of this ancient court of Tynwald, that our deliberations may be marked by wisdom, integrity and compassion, for the good of all the people of this nation, faithfully stewarding its rich inheritage of land and culture and faith, and working for its peace and prosperity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Banachi olionatl, un air amach as aspirid nu, de raun amastu, as de hanachten meru, a son de brach. Amen.
The voice of the bishop.
Be seated.
His Majesty is wearing a cream suit today. The President standing.
Rewusla Fastamai. Your Majesty, good afternoon. On behalf of your loyal subjects in this island, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to the Isle of Man, Ellen Vannon, and to this chamber for this occasion, your first visit here as Lord of Man. It is an honour to assure you of our strong and abiding loyalty and allegiance to you, sir, and to the Crown. We are delighted you found time to join us at the special sitting of Tynwald, the oldest continuous parliament in the world. As you move through the building today, you are preceded by the Manx Sword of State. For at least 600 years, the sword has been present at our sittings, where it represents the authority of the kings and lords of man. The stained glass windows to your right show Queen Victoria and three earlier lords of man. They remind us of the constitutional relationship of this island with the crown. They also remind us of our ancient parliamentary heritage, going back over 1,000 years to the Age of Vikings. As a parliament and as an island, we are immensely proud of our traditions, but we're also proud as an island of progression and innovation. In 1881, we became the first national parliament to grant women the right to vote. In 2006, we were one of the first jurisdictions to give a vote to 16 and 17-year-olds. And in 2016, we became the first whole nation UNESCO Biosphere Reserve. We are very proud of these achievements. We were honoured to welcome Her Majesty the Queen to the island in 2024 when she conferred city status on the city of Douglas. She also joined in celebrations of the 200th anniversary of the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, which was found here, right here in Douglas. We hope you'll pass on our warmest wishes to Her Majesty. We remember with gratitude that your late mother did the significant honour of presiding over Timwell's ceremony in 1979, when we celebrate a millennium of Timwell, and she did so again in 2003. And we also remember that you yourself, sir, did the same honour in year 2000. We hope you may be able to come back to Ellenvannan once again and preside over Timwell Day ceremony. And I close with the words of an old Manx blessing. Shosland as she, as esh devai, as main rison de brac. Here's to health, peace, length of life, and happiness forever. Good am I.
His Majesty sitting next to the Governor. His Majesty now stands and moves to the centre of the Legislative Council.
Durumayu Echterain. I am most grateful to you and to the High Court of Timwell for the warm welcome that you have extended and for the assurances of loyalty and allegiance that you have expressed. I am aware that this year is Manx Language Year. Blaina Gaia. So I very much hope I have not succeeded at this point in massacring this wonderful celebration in your language. My wife and I have very happy memories of the welcome that we received when we were here together in 2012 to mark my late mother's Diamond Jubilee. During that visit, we learned much about this beautiful island, its proud traditions, rich history and heritage, and its passion for innovation. We also met local producers and farmers and heard about their attempts to work sustainably in harmony with nature. On an island such as this, one never feels far from the marvelous landscapes and the sea that surrounds us, from the heights of the Snaefell to the wooded glens and beautiful beaches, an environment so justly designated as a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve. As you mentioned, Mr. President, this is a global accolade that celebrates the unique relationship between the Manx people and their environment. On this occasion, I am fortunately able to reiterate how extremely disappointed I was not to have been with you in 2024, but I know that Her Majesty greatly enjoyed that visit. And I need hardly say that I am delighted and proud that I can now add my own congratulations to the island's capital on its new status as the city of Douglas. Echterain, Mr. President, it is a very special moment in history to participate in the proceedings of this honourable court, as only the second Lord of Man to do so since this chamber was constructed, and to see once again the splendid and ancient sword of state. I have countless fond memories of that day, over 25 years ago, when I ascended Timwell Hill, preceded by the same sword, and presided over the Timwell Day ceremony. But it is even more significant to be here now, in Timwell Court, as Lord of Man, addressing you all personally for the first time. As the world's oldest parliament in continuous operation, Tynwald holds a remarkable distinction. This longevity speaks not only to the strength of your institutions, but also to the enduring partnership between the Crown and the people of this island. I cannot help but reflect upon the long association between my family and this ancient Parliament. My grandfather, King George VI, became the first reigning as sovereign for many centuries to preside over the Tynwald Day ceremony when he visited Ellen Vallon in 1945, his and my grandmother's first sea crossing after VE Day. 10 years later, as a young boy, I accompanied my late mother when she herself came here for the first time as Queen and Lord of Man. That is a very special memory I have always treasured, and it gives me particular pleasure and a deep sense of continuity to return again to this wonderful island. On this occasion, I am proud to be continuing the tradition of visits by my family. The first royal visit was by my great-great-great-grandfather, Prince Albert, who was rowed ashore from the steam-driven royal yacht, Victoria and Albert, in September 1847, disembarked at Ramsey, and became the first royal visitor to the island. Today, I will meet members of the Manx community from across the island, including those unsung heroes who give so much back to their fellow islanders, in order to reaffirm that ancient link with the Crown. Dr. Rain, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you every success in your deliberations, and I pray that Almighty God will continue to bless this honourable court and all who serve the people of the Isle of Man with peace, prosperity, and successful advancement of this ancient kingdom and its indefatigable island community. Thank you.
Much applause. Yeah, applause. That's His Majesty, yes, again, resumes his seat. He was standing in front of Anthony Cameron, who is actually bearing the sort of stage. That's a lengthy applause from members. Now the President.
Mr. Gurumayu, once again, thank you for giving up your time to be here at Tynwald Court. It is so gratefully appreciated by us all as honourable members. I would now like to present to you the scroll of the Royal Address, which is signed by Lauder, Mr. Speaker, and myself.
And he passes it across to His Majesty.
Now, honourable members, there is no more business before the court. The court will stand adjourned to the next sitting, which will be on Tuesday, the 21st of July at 10 a.m. I now call upon honourable members to stand for the departure of His Majesty.
Members of the Keys do have some business. The nicotine products bill amendments from LegCo, which they'll be looking at later on this afternoon. The sword of state is carried out of the chamber. His Majesty follows it. His ADC follows behind them.
Members of council will now retire and leave keys in the hands of Lauder. Good of mine.
Well, there we have it.
I have no business to put before the House. We are suspended until our sitting at 2:30 this afternoon in our own chamber. Thank you, honourable members.
That's the nicotine products bill, which they'll be talking about. They'll be all departing, I suppose, for lunch now. The time rapidly approaching 1 o'clock. The Speaker, Joan Morrison, leaves the chamber, followed by the Clerk, Jonathan King. And the members will have much to talk about after seeing His Majesty and hearing his words, addressing not just to themselves, of course, course, but to the entire island. So there we have it, the address from His Majesty King Charles III. He's now departed from the court and will be going outside. I believe his first office will be to meet people who are gathered outside on Bucks Road. We must obviously wait to hear from further adventures he has over here, including a visit to the horse trams and to a garden party up there at Government House. But for a moment, from the court of Timrald, let me return you to Manx Radio.